you want a vision of the future, Winston, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Someone is trying to teach me a lesson in futility. Why am I the only one who isn't killed?
They will run you dizzy. They will pile falsehood on top of falsehood until you can't tell a lie from the truth and you won't even want to. That's how the powerful keep their power. Don't you read the papers?
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir, you.
Plastics.
I'm going to get your money for you. But if you don't get the President of the United States on that phone, you know what's going to happen to you?
What?
You're going to have to answer to the Coca-Cola company.
The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business, Mr. Beale. It has been since man crawled out of the slime.
Welcome to another episode of Our Interesting Times. It is my pleasure to have Andy Nowicki back on the show. Andy is the author of 8 books, including Conspiracy, Compliance, Control, and Defiance. He is the assistant editor of Alternative Right and is the host of the Nameless Podcast. Andy, how are you doing this evening?
Very good, Tim. It's always good to be with you and glad to be joining you again.
Well, thanks for coming back on. You recently pointed out to me, brought to my attention, some of these strange videos on YouTube that are purportedly geared towards children, but are strangely sexual and scatological, just
yes.
Strange. I'll let you talk about these things. What's your take on these videos?
Yeah, well, I'm not really sure how I first discovered these. I think I might have heard about them somewhere. I heard. Or maybe it was on some message board, somebody saying there's all these weird videos on YouTube which have Disney characters and feature strange scenarios, and you know they're supposed to be for kids, but they're really not appropriate. And I think maybe somewhere I read all you have to do is enter Elsa into the search engine, and these videos immediately start coming up. And I did. And they did. And so I started watching them, and I was flabbergasted. But it's kind of hard to describe what it is exactly about these videos that makes them so disconcerting. Because there's nothing explicit. There's certainly not what any court would determine to be pornographic, but they're highly inappropriate in many, many ways. And there's sort of just this weird undercurrent that really makes you uncomfortable as a viewer. And you know, some of these videos, I mean, I guess we can talk about cataloging them in some way or other, because I think after I told you about them, and I recorded my own podcast on this subject, and I wasn't the first. There had been several others who had discussed this. There were actually a few YouTube videos, to get meta about it, which discussed the phenomenon of these YouTube videos. And some of them were talking about, oh, this is just, you know, clickbait. You know, it's just, you know, using these kinds of things that people would, that kids like to, and they'll get a lot of clicks, and then, you know, advertisers will want to sell their products, and so it's a big money maker, and that's all there is to it, and there's nothing else to it. But that sentiment seemed to be in the minority. The majority sentiment, and I share the majority sentiment, seems to be that there's something disconcerting and creepy going on with regard to these videos. And so, yeah, so again, if we wanted to catalog them, and I you know, first of all, there are tons of them. I mean, there are zillions, and that's an inexact number, of course, but but there are probably thousands of these videos out there that I would classify in this way, as being this type of video that seems to be a kid friendly video but really isn't. And I think they're in with probably thousands that are, and hopefully a whole lot more that actually are kid friendly. And but I guess the big deal that people were making was, you know, if you look at the number of views, they're just astronomically high. And I've heard some people theorize that those views aren't really accurate, that they're inflated. But I don't know how that. I don't know enough about the whole, you know, how the internet works to know how that could be done. But, you know, again, just taking things from going by observation, by what seems to be the case, you know, most of these videos have hundreds of thousands of views. Some are in the millions. And most of them, as I was saying a few minutes ago, I guess the way that I was told, or that the way that I read, you know, that these videos can be found. It's easy to find them, but I was told just type Elsa into the search engine. Elsa is a princess in the Disney movie Frozen, and there are a bunch of videos made with Elsa and Spider-Man. I don't know how they were dreamed up to be a couple, but they are. There are a couple in these in a bunch of these videos, and they have all these weird things happen to them. And again, things seem nice and wholesome at first, but then they go in a strange and disconcerting direction that, again, can't really be spoken of as, you know, it's definitely not pornographic. There's no nudity. There's no overt sexuality, but it's still gestured to or hinted at in a way that really seems very conspicuous. And again, it's maybe maybe in a couple minutes we can talk about a typical scenario in one of these videos. And I tried to do this in my own podcast. Which I did, my own nameless podcast, which I is titled, I think, the On Those Creepy YouTube Kid Vids. So a bunch of them are Elsa and Spider-Man, and then it's just cheaply made, just people wearing these costumes, you know, but it's basically stuff that you and your friends could make, you know, in your house. They're very low quality, no real budget to speak of. So there's the ones involving Elsa and Spider-Man and the Joker and other kinds of Disney or DC comic or other, you know, well-known kind of characters. And there's also cartoons. And these are also really cheaply made, like the kind of cheap, and I don't know anything about how cartoons are made or manufactured, but these just look, again, bottom of the barrel kind of stuff, very, very low budget kind of stuff. But again, featuring characters that are well known, like Mickey Mouse, and Minnie Mouse, and Goofy. And there's a few made with Peppa Pig, and others. I mean, there are familiar cartoon characters, and these are cartoons, which again have that same kind of feel to them. There's nothing explicit. There's nothing pornographic, but things go in a very inappropriate direction. So you got the live action ones with people dressed up in costumes. You've got the cartoons, and then there are other videos with actual kids in them, and these videos, sometimes they don't actually, you know, sometimes they're superhero related thematically, or sometimes they're just kids being, you know, just kids seemingly having these little misadventures, you know, they're just, again, very low budget, very goofy little videos that you'd think are harmless at first blush, but you see these kind of scenarios unfold where, for example, one of the ones that I saw involved a little girl, and someone breaks into her house. This guy breaks into her house and chases her around, and she's giggling. It's like it's all in fun. And then he throws a pie in her face, and then she eventually somehow manages to get him down, and she ties him up and puts a tape over his mouth and binds his arms together. There are all kinds of themes that keep emerging. There's bondage as a theme, and again, it doesn't happen in a way that is overtly sexual, but you can see how people who have certain fetishistic leanings would view this in a particular way that maybe for us just seems totally weird and out of bounds. So it's almost like there's these esoteric kind of meanings that they have. Like the pornography in them is an esoteric pornography, if that makes any sense. That's a little weirdly put, but and some of them involve kids like running away. There's one with some little kid running away on the beach, and there's some predator, someone in a Jason mask or something like that, or some zombie looking thing following her. And so there's this, again, not overt, but there's this subtle message of child in distress, which, as we know, it seems that some in the elite, when we talked about Pizzagate and the kind of art that that Tony Podesta, for example, likes, and others in the political social elite seem to favor, you know, that should alert us to, again, a certain esoteric eroticism of children that's happening here. Esoteric in the sense that it's not overt, but it's there, and it's conspicuous, and it's conspicuous enough that even if you aren't turned on by it, which no normal person would be, you still are aware of it enough that it makes its presence felt. So that was what I observed. Would you add anything to that, say anything to buttress my observations?
Yeah, I agree that there's a subtle eroticism to it all. It's just peculiar. The idea of a guy breaking into a house and chasing a little girl, and she's giggling, enjoying it, which is a pedophile's appeal. I mean, excuse. They really like it. You know, it's society that makes them not like it. It makes it painful because society is judgmental.
Right.
I know there's a lot of scatology involved in it, which
yes. Now, in a sense, yeah. though, we know that kids like scatological humor, so there's a way that could be
yeah.
innocently.
But since when is it the duty of parents to promote it?
yeah. Well, course, it belongs just between kids.
Yeah, that's what it's when you see a kid that doesn't know that distinction. You know, the kid isn't being raised properly. I mean, I grew up with a family. I have five brothers, and believe me, I had my fair share of I was exposed to a fair share of scatological humor. But sure. we knew when my mother was in the room or within earshot that we didn't talk about those things because at some point or another, we were instructed that it's rude. But when you're among peers, you can be rude to peers. It's the whole idea of being in mixed company. If you're not familiar with somebody or someone of the opposite sex, you learn to be a gentleman, these things. Whereas with a bunch of guys, you can joke about things you wouldn't do if there's a lady present or when you're a kid, if there's an adult present. And I believe these films are breaking down those barriers for a particular reason. And you see that in a lot of movies, or it's to get cheap laughs, perhaps. But I think there's something more sinister involved in it. You know.
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, there's a. I don't want to. I guess what I was saying is I don't want to just sound like anything. I'm aware that this kind of humor is common, even among children. But there's something about the way, and that's part of what makes this whole genre of videos kind of hard to describe, because you almost have to see it for yourself. You know, it's almost like they say, like the famous or infamous thing that was said about pornography. I don't know how to define it, but I know it when I see it.
Yeah, no reason.
it's that same kind of thing here. You don't. I mean, it's if you watch it, you definitely get a bad feeling.
Yeah.
like they say in Star Wars, I got a bad feeling about this.
It's, you also have the weird thing with pregnancy and needles and.
Yes. That comes up again and again in the Spider-Man Elsa videos. They get pregnant for some reason, including Spider-Man. Sometimes he gets pregnant.
Yeah.
And then someone, maybe it's just, some kind of weird stomach condition. It's not exactly clear. Sometimes they actually give birth to a baby doll or whatever. Often they do. The pregnancy is a real, that seems to be, the pregnancy fetish seems to be something that manifests itself a lot. But sometimes they also another big thing, a motif is needles, injections. And they get pregnant, or it looks like they're pregnant, and then one of them gives the other a shot in the stomach, and so it's almost like it's supposed to represent an abortion.
Something like that. Like there's something wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something wrong going on, and you get the idea of a woman getting prone. And, This is for kids.
No. I mean it's, and there's violence too. There's like. Disconcerting sound effects, things happen, just all kinds of stuff. And again, anyone who's listening, who just who isn't familiar with this phenomenon, I would just suggest you check out some of these videos for yourself, because again, there are a ton of them out there, and type in Elsa Spider-Man and they'll start coming up, and then you can just, you'll get exposed to some other, similarly themed videos as well. Some of them involving these famous, well-known characters from cartoons or from Disney movies or other kinds of movies or comic books, and some of them not. But all of them carrying the same kind of creepy vibe, it raises the question: why are they out there? What is this? What is going on here with these videos? Why are they on YouTube? Who's making them? Why are they being proliferated so much? Why are they getting so many views? What's the end game, if there is an end game?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think? I mean, having seen you saw them after I alerted you to them. What is your, do you have any thoughts or ideas about what it might be all about?
Well, one thing, these characters are all characters that belong to corporate entities, which jealously guard their intellectual
yes.
property.
And there's that aspect of it as well, which I guess we can get into.
Yet there's no claim on YouTube for pulling them off. And I don't know what the legal, you know, does a Spider-Man light costume constitute violation of that copyright?
Right.
You know,
you'd think so.
You'd think so. And it's named, I guess, Elsa. So that's they're invoking that name.
Yeah.
And Mickey Mouse is, I mean, Mickey Mouse has been protected since 1928.
Right.
You know, which they keep it getting their copyright on Mickey Mouse extended. Of course, Disney Corporation itself is famous for stealing things and then copyrighting them. You know, Grimm's fairy tales and these things. Nothing's
sure.
ever original with Disney. They just take it, they just steal it, and then
right.
claim it for their own.
And speaking of Grimm's, I mean, that's, I guess, another thing we want to make clear. Of course, there's a dark side to children's stories, and that's, I guess, something that we also should acknowledge that
yeah.
that you know, the story of Little Red Riding Hood,
the cautionary tales. Yeah,
yeah, they're cautionary tales, and some of them in their older forms are rather gruesome
mm-hmm.
And disturbing, and you know, think would give kids nightmares. So, in a sense, that's nothing new either. But it does seem like, in this case, they're you know. You suspect some kind of malicious intent.
Well, I liken it to when you talk about the creepy, weird feeling you get is a creepiness I got when I used to occasionally happen upon the daily programming that Disney Channel offered or Nickelodeon offered. I'd be stuck at a, you know, like a waiting room at a car repair shop or something that's on mm-hmm. a TV set, and you have to capture one of these shows, and you start to, oh, just the whole thing is a subtle eroticism to it all. You know, you got this with Miley Cyrus's show, Hannah Montana, was supposedly wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are off on their own. There's
right.
a lot of you know, pubescent boys and girls hanging out together with no parental guidance or you know, chaperoning or anything like that. So that's
right.
being promoted. The girls are all little sex kittens. I mean, that's just
mm-hmm.
the adults are goofy, you know,
sure.
You know, they all always had, you know, they always seem to have like a black butler with a British accent. That's my standard Disney show, living in a penthouse in New York or something. And they're living.
That sounds like Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Yeah, well, it's a.
But that's not Disney, but.
Yeah, I know, but it's all kind of aspirational programming.
Mm-hmm.
But TV's always been kind of like that. You know, why isn't my family like the Brady Bunch? Blah, 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 that sort of thing.
It sounds like what you're saying is there's some continuity.
Yeah.
Between the official stuff and. Or between what's out there that we think is harmless and this stuff. And I guess that's. I mean, that might be true. I'm approaching it from a. More of a sense of discontinuity.
I mean, they're making these videos for a reason. They're making a lot of them, so they must be getting paid to do it. And
right.
There's some sort of signaling going on here, perhaps.
Oh yeah. You know? What? And, I mean, there's the fact that they're, you know, they're making these. Most of these videos, or a lot of these videos, feature these copyrighted characters.
Yeah. So
huge,
I assume it's the approval.
Corporations.
So they get to the approval of these corporations.
It must. It must get the tacit. I mean, they must be aware of them. That they're out there and they're not doing anything about it. So that's something, you know, interesting. I guess that for me, you know, you approach it from the, oh yeah, this is just an extension of what's already out there. I was seeing it more from the like discontinuity side of things. Whereas like where, you know, you watch an actual Mickey Mouse cartoon and, you know, I would think this is innocent and G rated and kid friendly. And then there's these cartoons on these YouTube Disney-themed cartoons featuring a Mickey Mouse where you know he's getting he gets his ear cut off and there's blood everywhere,
mm-hmm.
or where Minnie Mouse climbs a tree and then falls down and her dress gets torn, and Mickey Mouse can see her underwear and he gets all horny,
yeah,
and jumps on her. I mean, that seems to me discontinuous from the Mickey Mouse that I think of, but you might be right. I mean, that I think of as the Mickey Mouse, but you might be right that there's even on the official level, it's not that innocent.
Are you familiar with the old cartoon, Bilbo's Initiation?
No.
It's a cartoon almost early 30s, I would say.
Is that the one with the Illuminati?
Yeah, he gets sucked underground and he's being initiated into a skull of bones. He keeps saying, you want to be a member? Do you want to be a member? He goes, no. You want to be a member? You want to be a member? No. Now, it's done by Fleischman, not by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
That cartoonist Fleischman, not Disney Corporation, mind you. Nevertheless, Mickey Mouse shows up in the video, in the cartoon, which is oddly because you mentioned Mickey Mouse showing up in these things. So again, once again, you've then obviously he got the permission, or there wasn't any litigation drawn from this using the imagery of Mickey Mouse in this cartoon. Yeah. But he's thrown into this underground world, Skull and Bones, and he's gets all those harrowing experiences. And he finally gets pulled in. He agrees to be a member because Betty Boop shows up and seduces him. It's on YouTube. It's Bilbo's Initiation.
Really?
But it's all types of occult and ritualistic, symbology.
Well, speaking of occult, I mean, I was just thinking the other day the whole when you wish upon a star idea that which seems to be central to the whole Disney ethos, which is that If you wish for something badly enough, you'll have it. If you believe in something, then you'll make it happen.
Yeah, which is it's really the black magic kingdom.
Yeah, in a way, it's certainly not anything that resembles Christian theology, let's say. But it didn't strike me when I was when I was a kid. It just sort of sounded like, oh well, that's just the power of positive thinking, or you send out good vibes into the world and then good things happen for you. But that is, as you say, kind of wizardry, or I don't know what to call it. It's maybe magic with a K. I don't know, but it's definitely not theologically kosher, in from the perspective of standard Christianity, the general way of looking at the universe, both made and unmade, in a healthy manner. So there is that aspect to it all.
And Disney, Disney has always been a big promoter of sexualizing youth, overly sexualizing youth at an earlier and earlier age. And obviously, they're going to have to bend to cultural norms. But along the way, as they degrade society, they'll, stretch the envelope more and more and more.
But they're thought of as the wholesome, Disney was, when I was a kid anyway, and still to some extent, Disney is kind of synonymous with wholesomeness. So that's just a ruse.
People didn't pick up on it. It was subtle, but it is almost subliminal messaging in these things. People have pointed out in these old Disney cartoons, even the newer ones, the erotic imagery that pops up. And some people say it's just someone in the studio playing jokes because they have a lot of. Apparently, a lot
of. The penis that shows up in. Is it Aladdin or.
Aladdin, yeah. There's a lot of pants falling down. Jamie Hanshaw was talking about Disney and his formative years as a child, abusive relationship with a father, very hard childhood apparently. But according to her, he had a fetish, with rear ends, and had a problem. Women in the office would complain about it, and he was kind of a strange individual according to reports, and he wasn't quite as wholesome as people think. It was an image. Some say he was anti-Semitic, but then again, I hear that a lot of the Jews didn't like him. So it that goes both ways many times. Might have his experience in Hollywood. So that can be explained. Could be a reaction to something, because he was always kind of treated poorly by the moguls in Hollywood, who were mostly Jewish.
Right.
It's And of course, what's Disney's become since then? Of course, since his death in the late 60s, it's a huge entertainment, corporation, international corporation, that claims to have captured children's imagination. They create children's imagination.
Right.
And if you're involved in this sort of thing, whether it's a New World Order or trying to reorganize or social engineer society, you definitely are going to target the children, and you're going to work through corporations like Disney. Same way Hollywood does.
Right.
It's right. Involved in magic, and then Hollywood itself, right? The magical wand, right? It's made from Hollywood. That's why they call it that.
So in a way, it's already, it's this, what we see in these YouTube videos is just an extension of that.
Yeah.
What's already out there.
I mean, look at Disney right now with the Masketeers. Even then, you're sort of turning people into animals. You're Masketeers.
Right.
But
well, I've heard things about the mouse ears being representative of mind control or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard all kinds of things.
There's a lot of things that you hear about. But the Disney factory itself, that's stables, it's produced these stars, male and female. But really, if you look at the female stars, Britney Spears, Miley Cyrus, Jennifer Love
Sexy.
Hewitt, Lindsay Lohan,
yeah.
Christina Aguilera, Vanessa Hudgens, who's got Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, I think, the list here.
Names. And Miley Cyrus.
And Miley Cyrus. Now, they come up with these wholesome, allegedly wholesome
right.
characters.
They start out wholesome.
But the moment they turn 18, they become the whores of Babylon, right?
Mm-hmm.
These leaked nude photo scandals that always occur, rise up,
yeah.
Whoops, what happened here, you know?
Right.
And so it's, there's a pattern here.
But is that just a way of, like, a canny way of selling? I mean, some would just say, oh, there's nothing sinister going on here as far as...
Well, you draw... The problem is you build trust with these wholesome characters. They get
right.
the kids' attention. And all of a sudden, overnight, they become whores. And that's the message being sent.
But what would you say to those who would say that's just a marketing ploy? I mean, we would say... I think you and I would probably say there's something more sinister going on than just... Than just trying to make a lot of money, right? But could it just be, like this is what will sell a lot of, albums or whatever, Britney Spears turns 18 and becomes sexy, and
mm-hmm.
or Miley Cyrus turns 18 or 19 and suddenly starts behaving. Not just in a sexualized way, but in a really weird almost possessed kind of way. And people are like, what's going on with her? You know, and it just creates more publicity. I mean, it does seem like there is it's a canny way of making, of drumming up publicity, even if it's a little repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, but they're already famous. I don't see
right.
everyone.
Yeah, well,
you know.
It does, the ubiquity of it is something
yeah.
that's kind of strange.
And maybe there's some programming. I think it's inevitably, I think you subject a child to that life. That's psychological abuse, psychological trauma.
Oh, yeah.
So that's built into the system. You can't,
yeah.
your child cannot develop properly in that type of system in the studio.
Yeah.
So it's more than just life on, life in a fishbowl. I think it's something that maybe... They kind of wig out, and so that's a lot of some of
yeah.
these places they have in Hollywood is probably how they reprogram or something. You know, they have this. What's
right.
that? There's that. What's the place out there where they all go? I forget the name of it.
Scientology.
No, it's it's a not a not a recovery center. What do they call it?
Oh,
therapy.
Oh, like a rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation and therapy, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
a lot of that's drug-related, but what you're saying is it's probably also mind control.
Yeah, well, look at method acting. That's a form
sure.
of, like, split personality, if you ask me. I mean, that's if you describe the method acting approach, and people like method actors are always a little batty, like Marlon Brando. They all tend to go a little insane.
Yeah, they take it a little far.
Yeah, because you can't you really, and you look at acting itself, you look at acting in the old days, acting was very stilted, compared to today. Even the low production quality, the level of acting, particularly among children, has gotten a lot better in the past 50 years. It was, if you watch shows like Family Affair or the kid acting was very stilted and crude compared to today.
Right.
And how do you produce a kid that acts? You can't produce a kid that acts without subjecting him to some level of abuse, at least from my estimations. It's like, I don't know, it's like gymnastics.
Sure.
By any definition, that's what those kids go through is probably abusive. The amount of dedication it takes for excellence, is it worth it? If you want to have really good, small girls that are great at gymnastics, you got to treat them like a commodity. You got to abuse them to one level, because that level of dedication, you can't be a normal kid.
Right.
You know.
No, it showbiz seems like no place for a kid to be. I mean, there's definitely no doubt in my mind about that.
And if you watch shows like An Open Secret about the pedophile network there,
right?
It goes all the way up the totem pole out there in Hollywood. Hollywood, it's known that young men and women are just mere commodities for the studios and executives, agents, and lawyers. They're marketed, they're sold. Law enforcement doesn't do anything about it. They're just paid off. And the type of parent that would subject their kid to that is someone who's either, just doesn't care at all for the child's welfare, just really greedy or abusive, or just very naive.
Right.
You know.
Yes, and it would seem like they couldn't be naive for too long if they're really, if they're there for any length of time.
I mean, you really have to be a coincidence theorist, a crazed coincidence theorist, to think that all this is just, it's just celebrities. I mean, there'd be some, it just is too much, there's too much consistency here. It's across the board.
Right.
You know?
Right. So getting back to the YouTube videos, how do they fit into this whole? Because they you would think these would be on the periphery. You know, they're not officially produced by any of these major studios, and as far as content goes, they're definitely. I mean, it's amateurish as far as the whole making of them, and yet there does seem to be some kind of link between these crudely made videos and the top echelons of showbiz, because as you were saying a few minutes ago, there's no Disney and or DC Comics or whatever other entities, they aren't suing any of these video manufacturers. They're not saying
stop using our image for this weird stuff.
You're making these creepy videos that are not appropriate for children, and it's tarnishing our image, so you better stop it now. There's no sign of that. So what does that mean?
It suggests that they have no problem with it, or that they're being produced with the approval of the corporations. It's just one level of promotion. It is promoting their characters. I think the amateurness of the video is part of the show. It's the same way that the apparent amateur quality of, say, Blue's Clues or something, is a part of some of these kids' things. Is a part of the show, which leads me to believe that it's made to draw in a very young child, and I can imagine the neurological effect that it has if a kid watches it. You know, I don't know how many kids are sitting back in front of YouTube watching these things.
And other people have speculated that, it's parents who are tied up with busy stuff and they've got very young kids and they just want to keep them occupied for a little while.
Yeah.
And so they set them in front of a tablet.
Yeah, to me, children's program has always been suspect. I never liked Sesame Street, for that matter. I just thought it was bizarre and weird. And, of course, we all had not too long ago when Katy Perry showed up on Sesame Street.
Really?
In a low
I
cut,
remember that.
Parroting her song, what's that song?
I Kissed a Girl?
No, it wasn't quite so. It was You're In and You're Out, You're Hot and You're Cold, Hot and Cold.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she's doing with Elmo, but she's wearing a halter top and running around.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, give me a break. Of course, then again, if someone gets into Katy Perry, they click on YouTube, they get that. Oh, here's another video. It's called California Girls, and she's got peppermint twirlies on her breast, licking a popsicle, a phallus.
Right.
You mean, okay, fine. And so that's children's
program.
And Elmo
got his own, had his own sex scandal, as we
remember.
Or the voice of Elmo.
Yeah, yeah.
We should clarify.
So, you know, children's programming has always been, again, has always been suspect. It's just the way
right.
it's, because it's going to be, it's going to capture the attention of the children. They're going to,
yeah.
anything that's directed towards children is going to attract certain creeps because it's an,
and again, you know, so. you're approaching this like from a continuity angle. I'm have a fairly normie kind of background. I grew up with a TV in the home and I watched all these kids shows and stuff. And for me, you know, it was just sort of, It's disconcerting to hear that it might all be a part of the same gross, nasty, evil kind of
Well, TV, I think TV reality. Was developed as a weapon. Mass communications has always been weaponized. And
yeah,
so
I remember
TV itself,
you mentioning that before, making that point before.
Yeah, so that's one thing. Just, okay, it's always been weaponized, and they couldn't start off immediately. You know, they had to introduce Leave It to Beaver, you know.
Well, see, I mean, can't all media be weaponized? Aren't plays weaponized and books? And
oh yeah,
I mean,
and they've always been used as a weapon or social manipulation or cultural programming. It goes back to the days of the Greeks, you know.
But that so television, like any other medium, it would seem is capable of both good and evil, I would think.
Oh yeah, it just tends to towards the evil.
But maybe it's. Yeah, maybe
the type of people who run corporations aren't nice people. Let's just say that it's like politics. It doesn't attract normal people.
Right, right.
You know?
But I mean, I guess as someone who is a writer and who believes in the arts and all that kind of stuff.
You know? Oh yeah, I mean, it can uplift. The arts can be edifying. It can be degrading.
Right. Yes,
and
exactly.
Just happens that at least since the 20th century, there's been a concerted effort to weaponize the arts. Mm-hmm. Whether it's modern art, the Rockefellers, whether it's the
by weaponize you mean use as propaganda,
yeah, or propaganda, or to not so much to uplift and to improve society, but to change it, maybe perhaps even degrade it,
right.
Make it worse, make it ugly. That's what we're getting. I mean, the assault on beauty and the whole notion of beauty, where you know, because from beauty we get truth, and so if you destroy notions of beauty, you can destroy notions of truth. That's what the powerful. That's what they recognize through the arts. You know.
On the other hand, though, I mean, there have always been like a lot of Shakespeare's plays are very dark, and you know, I believe in Shakespeare. I like Shakespeare. I'm a fan of his. Mm-hmm. But Macbeth is a very dark play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's something about art can reflect the dark side of humanity without also being, as you say, something that's weaponized to bring out the worst in people or to make people do terrible things.
Oh no, you're right. I mean, you can watch the Godfather movies. You know, are they
right.
uplifting?
Exactly.
No, I wouldn't say they're uplifting, but they're fascinating. They're
right.
They're great.
Well made and
well made. But I think when you make material that's targeted towards children,
right?
I think you're showing your cards and you weaponize it, which apparently they've done. With some of the stuff, and
so in that kind of interpretation, these YouTube video. I mean, were you not shocked to see these kinds of videos out there? I mean,
no, because we live in an age where people take 8-year-old kids to go listen to Ariana Grande concerts, you know, and highly sexualized lyrics. People have lost all powers of judgment, of discernment in these things, because this is a generation that's a generation.
Ariana Grande, who was also a character on a Nickelodeon show.
Yeah. And she, and that's another character. I mean, just look at her. Just talk about like exuding pedophilia, her little cat ears. And you know,
right.
She looks younger than she is. She, you know, I don't know, I think she's 22 now, but,
yeah.
But
looks a lot younger.
She looks like she's 14. I'm sorry. At least she dresses like it. She acts like it. You know, and her Christmas songs, sexualized Christmas songs. I mean, just listen to the lyrics. Why are kids going to see this? And it was music itself. I remember when I was, it wasn't something that you really got into until you're a teenager. And when you start introducing 9, 10-year-olds to some of this stuff, it's problematic when you're a teenager. It's even worse when you're 10 or 11. You're getting into the pop culture stuff. And same thing with fashion. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember there was an ad, L'Oreal for kids. It's like hair mousse for boys at 10. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I remember, I did not care what my hair looked like when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, and it shows in the pictures. Right. And there's something good about that, you know? And you have boys now worrying about, you know, what they're wearing, how it looks, and their hair. Does it look right? This feminization, I guess you could say, of boys.
Yeah, sure.
And that's also sexualization, because it's almost like you're worrying about if you're attractive or not when you're 11 or 12. Give me a break.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know? No, there's definitely that.
And this also goes with fashion, particularly for little girls. It's becoming increasingly sexualized. Bathing suits, clothes, this stuff. I mean,
so that would suggest that these videos are targeted at corrupting kids, which I think that's plausible. But I was also thinking of them functioning as a kind of, in a coded way, like I was talking about before, to appeal to the pedos out there, but not, like I said, not in an explicit way.
Yeah.
But just to have certain things, certain scenarios play out, or just have the whole thing, you know, everything being a kind of childhood or childish kind of, having a childish feel to it with all these bright colors and everything. I mean, I'm remembering now, this is causing me to recall Pee Wee Herman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remember him? And from the 80s,
mm-hmm.
He had his own, well, he had a couple movies, but he had a TV show that, I mean, at the time I didn't really think much of it, but now thinking back, it's pretty weird.
Yes.
And of course Pee Wee was found to be convicted for, well, I think he had a couple things that happened, right?
Public exposure in movie theater. He was,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But I think there was something involving child porn too.
Yeah.
At some point with him. So you just kind of wonder, again, this is a mainstream kind of,
out in UK with, you know, what's his name?
You know, yeah, Jimmy Savile.
Jimmy Savile with kids. Jimmy will fix it or something.
Absolutely.
I mean, taking in vulnerable kids.
He was a fixture. I mean, that's mind blowing. Just to think he was sort of like, it's kind of like what Bill Cosby turned out to be.
Mm-hmm. And everyone at the BBC was aware of it. That's another thing.
Yes. Apparently. Oh,
so,
yeah.
They were enablers.
And so there's all kinds of nefarious things happening with the knowledge and with the approval of people on high, you know, in high places,
mm-hmm.
So that just suggests that, again, there's the evil is much more widespread than, I had previously would have thought.
Yeah. And again, there's an article I read about Walt Disney, and he was a 33 degree Mason, Freemason, and an Illuminist behind all those cartoons. Magazines and movies is a hidden agenda to mess up the children's minds. Disney's productions over the years is filled with Masonic symbolism, occult over and undertones, mind control, and indoctrination. He's preparing our younger generation for the New World Order and introduce them to sorcery, black magic, and being a cool thing.
We
That's definitely
that.
True. Yeah, it's all cool. But later on, I don't know how this is true or not, but... Well, one thing that was like since 2006, 35 Disney employees have been caught, been charged with child molestation.
And so they might be the fall guys of what's really going on.
I mean, it's a big corporation, but maybe it's just a culture there. But Fritz Springmeier, who writes a lot about Disney and Bloodlines,
right? You know, I know him.
Whatever your opinion of him is, whatever, but he says in this article, he says, in this answer again, this article about says, a friend of mine, he wrote this in the article, a friend of mine sent me this letter a few days ago. He goes, I have a friend who went to Disneyland in California, and he stepped behind some thick bushes to smoke a cigarette. He found a hatch in the middle of the area, which he opened and saw a ladder going down into a middle into a room. He heard children crying down there. Someone came out of the building at this point and put a gun to his head, and he was arrested by security. At any rate, a series of events followed, which resulted in him having to sign a document saying he saw and heard nothing, was mentally disturbed or something of that sort, and was escorted out of the area in handcuffs, surrounded by armed guards, then escorted out of the area in his car. So,
see, that sounds really hard to believe. But
it does sound hard to believe. But, you know, a lot of these other stuff, I mean, Franklin scandal would be hard to believe.
Sure.
But sure. Whatever, I mean, some people suggest that, you know, the whole thing with Disney and it's the whole idea of what it represents with introducing the New World Order, or surveillance state, yeah, with the tracking bracelets and these things. This is real creepy. And I wonder how creepy this is. People get desensitized to this stuff. On Monday, the Walt Disney Company announced an ambitious plan to transform the visitor experience at Disney World Resort near Orlando, Florida. The My Magic program, which will roll out this spring, combines the interactive website and mobile app with all-purpose electronic bracelet that acts as a guest room key, theme park ticket, and payment account, all rolled into one. The bracelet dubbed Magic Bands will also track which ride you visit or use, which characters they interact with, where they go, and where they go, and what they do, what they buy in the park. Catherine Albrecht, a longtime consumer privacy advocate and co-author of 2005 book Spyships, said, "My Magic seems more appropriate for lab rats than musketeers." She expressed deep concern for the broader implications the world's largest family entertainment company normalizing RFID technology in the eyes of young people. And she worried that My Magic Plus was only the first step toward a surveillance society that will ultimately invade every aspect of our lives. They're basically conditioning young children to wear tracking devices. Albrecht said, "Well, one day these kids will be lawyers and doctors, and they'll grow up thinking it's completely normal to have their whereabouts tracked and their behavior monitored." This is particularly the program will also transform Disney World into a more personalized interactive experience, the company says. This is what the company says. For instance, right, employees playing Disney characters will be able to greet children by name using sensors that read information from their bracelets. The same holds true for robotic characters, meaning a talking parrot or pirate could address your children by name, although parents will have to opt in to such services to use them, sure. Arbeck believes that the air of complicity is simply one of the insidious methods companies use to convince us to give up more of our privacy. I mean, can it be creepy? You walk in there and Goofy knows your kid's name? Like, back off, buddy.
that would be disconcerting.
I mean, so you start to see the creepiness of it all.
Yeah.
There have been rumors that kids have gone missing at Disney, and they blame it on, you know,
yeah,
you know, someone in the park, but, you know, be that as it may, whatever, take it with a grain of salt. But it is creepy.
And it does make these make it seem a little more plausible that there might be some kind of link between these YouTube videos, and although not all of them are Disney characters, but although I guess Disney's gobbled up a bunch of, like, Disney owns Star Wars now.
I think Disney owns everything now. So
yeah, they do pretty much.
Disney and
are
Amazon,
they the same entity as Time Warner? Or is that a different? Is that one of the other five?
It's one of the other five. Yeah, I think Time Warner is separate. Yeah, but so it is. I mean, why I bring up this? Because obviously, we're talking about kids programming, and they're just a behemoth when it comes to children's programming and entertainment. Like I said, they've captured a children's imagination. They define, you know, what fantasy is, what imagination is, in these things.
Right.
But the Disney Corporation has long ties to the intelligence and military community, military intelligence, going back as far back as World War II, when it was more or less the studios were seized by the War Department to produce all types of propaganda film. They helped produce the Why We Fight movies, you know, using the maps, their animation.
Frank Capra, right?
Yeah, they worked with Frank Capra. They're all involved in propaganda, telling, you know, Donald Duck telling people to, you know, to support scrap drives and pay your taxes you know, cooperate, obey.
Buy bonds.
Buy war bonds and these things. But something even weirder is that I think I mentioned to you off call is that the breaking of the ground for Disneyland out in California, 1954, coincided with MK Ultra when it started. And both MK Ultra and Disney used the services of SRI, the Stanford Research Institute. So, if you look at and what we mentioned today, what they're doing with programming, with using RFID chip surveillance, the conditioning people to accept the stuff, all this is very. We tend to think that maybe Disney itself, and Jay Dyer's made this point that he said that you were talking about MK Ultra as well. Disney's MK Ultra, mm-hmm. You know, the whole media sure. complex is MK Ultra.
Sure. Sure.
And I also mentioned that another strange story is that Disney World down in Florida was built with the help of the CIA, you know, Wyatt Bull Donovan, his law firm, got work, and they arranged it with Paul Helliwell. Paul Helliwell was a guy who was in, I think he set up the Nugent Bank and was involved in the heroin trade in coming out of Vietnam. Later, he set up the Castle Bank down in the Caribbean to handle the drugs coming out of the out of Latin mm-hmm. America, and this mm-hmm. factors into like the Mary Carter Paint Company, Resorts International, Meyer Lansky, and of course Donald Trump is one that buys. Is the clean face that enables Resorts International to go into New Jersey in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of connections here, but the question is, why would the CIA be so involved in helping Disney establish its complex down in Florida? They even created a two fake towns so they could get out from under taxes, and had the legislature pass a special law for Disney that incorporated these. They created two towns, like things Lake Buena Vista and something other town. And
kind of so, like Sandy Hook.
It's kind of fake towns, right? Yeah,
said to be a CIA town. Yeah. Some places.
But what's weird is, a lot of these towns was like Oak Ridge was there to support the Manhattan Project, there to support so these towns can sprout up for intelligence military reasons. But one thing, if you're sitting back and you're like, how did Disney become so big, so dominating in media and entertainment And when you're dominating media entertainment, you're dominating perceptions, and then you can shape reality. You can mold the culture. So obviously, if you're an intelligence agent, you're going to be very interested in that. If you're an oligarch, you're part of the powers that shouldn't be, right? You can be very interested. You're going to make sure you control that corporation for that very reason. You're going to make sure, that's why you want to concentrate media, these things. But you're asking, why did it get so big? It got so big because it had the help of the CIA. To get around environmental laws, to get around tax laws, and to get land on the cheap, you know.
I remember thinking, it seemed like a couple decades ago, people still generally thought that big business and big government were somehow at odds with one another.
Yeah, I know. Imagine
it seems that. Like the scale has fallen from our eyes on that front. I mean, at least from mine. I used to be kind of a Republican.
Yeah, army. Yeah. You support private enterprise, free enterprise.
Yes, private enterprise. Get the state out of our business, and let the market work by itself. But it does seem. I mean, I might just be saying something that's just ridiculously obvious here, but it definitely seems to me. It's only been solidified in my mind over the last few years that big government and big business are one and the same.
Yeah, it's big business requires big government because they need each other. And one thing is it's the corporate state, and that's how you stifle competition.
Sure,
through regulation and taxes, and it's the little guy that has to follow the laws. It's the big people that don't follow the law. And that's what laws
corporate
are.
Welfare and all that.
And it's one thing. It's a huge corporate. One thing you get out of this Disney, this collusion with the CIA and Disney is corporate welfare.
Yeah,
and that's what the military industrial complex is. That's what the educational system is. We're talking about why do you support public education? Well, it's not just I think there's a social engineering end to that. I mean that goes back to the origins of of compulsory education. They admitted it was social engineering, so that's not even a dispute. But the reason why a lot of the public school systems exist is because there's so much money being spent out there, and it's contracts, it's brick and mortar operations. Who's gonna supply the facilities and these things. This is what motivates these institutions, you know, to or explains their continued existence and growth, because there's so much money to be involved in it. It's like infrastructure building, or you know, so much money can be embezzled and stolen, like the big dig up in Boston. You know, it was like 10 times the budget. And I'm sure all that money didn't go into the big dig.
A boondoggle.
Yeah, it's a boondoggle. And look at the Pentagon with its trillions missing, right? Who knows? Oh, yeah. That's gone.
Yeah. You know. Well, to breakaway civilizations, that's what
I heard. Well, that's, yeah, the breakaway civilization, or, you know, secret weapon systems, whatever. It's, yeah. I speculate.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, black budget.
Rife,
you know.
Rife for speculation.
Yeah.
So getting back a moment to the videos themselves again, do you think that, you know, you mentioned MK Ultra in regard to Disney. Did, when you were watching some of these videos, did they strike you as MK Ultra ish?
Yeah, because I can imagine the neurological effect that it would have on a child watching this. Not just the contact, just the weirdness of it all, you know.
And kind of like, I mean, what I think of is the Clockwork Orange scene. The Ludovico treatment, where they're prying his eyes open and making him watch this freaky stuff.
Yeah, and we live in a society now where kids are warehoused most of the day because both parents work. So that's, of course, that wasn't just something that just happened. It was part of a plan as well. And once you start realizing, Planned Parenthood in 1969 is talking about promoting divorce and family breakup and homosexuality through sexualization. We've had the overt sexualization of children. It's done through sex education under the pretext of public health look at AIDS education, where they admitted that they were using the AIDS threat as a pretext to introduce material that otherwise parents would object to. But you scare them with AIDS.
You could get really conspiratorial and say they created AIDS to, I don't know whether I believe this or not, but you could say they whipped up AIDS as a disease to increase the sexualization of children.
Well, they did. That's, to me, you can infer that from the documents. I don't think it takes much. And I think that's what they're doing. I think to a certain extent, AIDS was created. AIDS is a myth. Meaning, obviously, diseases that overwhelmed immune systems are real. That's what AIDS is. It's acquired immune deficiency syndrome. So it's syndrome means it's a multiple factor, not just one thing, which contradicts the HIV virus hypothesis, which has never been proven, by the way. They never isolated the virus. That, I think, is a myth. I think what happened is you have a lot of people on the tail end of the sexual revolution who had this is why it primarily was centered in the gay ghettos of a fast-track gay lifestyle, where they overwhelm their immune system with drugs, sex, poor health, poor diet, and the immune system collapses. It wasn't one virus that caused this. But they created the HIV myth, meaning that anyone can get it any time. And that struck hard. Because obviously, if you're not you're not living that fast-track lifestyle, you're not a threat. You have a healthy immune system.
I remember that in the 80s. In the 80s, they were saying,
one time.
It is not a gay disease.
Yeah.
You're going to get it eventually.
But everyone had it.
There was this real fear mongering.
Yeah, it was a fast-track homosexual or someone who was ill, a hemophiliac or something, who was really ill.
Yeah.
The Ryan White, right? He was a hemophiliac, Bill. They didn't say, let's pass the Freddie Mercury bill because he was a flamboyant homosexual. No sympathy there. No, it's the Ryan White bill. But the myth, the whole controversy with HIV basis of AIDS, if you just do a cursory look at it, it's highly, highly dubious just by their own, but by the medical industry's own standards. They never isolated the virus. This is something that people get because they simply overwhelm their immune system through their lifestyle, and you live that way, you burn out fast, and if you cleanse yourself healthy, you get better. If you take AZT, you die. You die from AIDS. But and that's no other excuse to get AZT off the shelf. It was a black labor drug that was taken off in the 60s being too deadly. It was a form of chemotherapy that was taken off the shelf in the 60s for being too deadly. AIDS created the pretext to put it back on the market. And to this day, it persists. People still believe in the HIV of AIDS. In Africa, you have people – they do eyeball diagnosis. People are just sick. You know, they have all these symptoms.
Yeah.
It could be anything in Africa. You're living in an area that's war torn, that's impoverished, it's malnutrition. Malnutrition right. is the number one cause of death in Africa, and malnutrition creates all the same things that AIDS supposedly creates, which is their suppressed immune system, opportunistic diseases. It's ridiculous, and there's no test, and even the AIDS test itself, the standards are subjective. What's positive in New York is negative in Canada, so there's a joke: if you test the positive in New York, just go across the border, get tested, you get cured of AIDS.
Really.
You know, because
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, so I mean, and even the test itself says cannot be used to diagnose AIDS. In the insert is a warning label, but there's so much money involved in it now. AIDS research, just like cancer research.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it gets back to this whole thing of questioning these institutions that we're supposed to trust, reliable sources of information, yeah. institutions. And
so is anyone actually looking out for our best interest? That's what I'm moved to ask after hearing all of this.
You know, I take it each case on its own merit, I guess. So
uh-huh.
yeah, I'm not going to say that, but
right.
it's just one of the. But that's something. I mean, yeah, they created the AIDS. What I mean by the AIDS myth is they in a sense, they did create it to create fear. It was never yes. going to spread like it was like into the general population.
You would think that would it's a little weird because it you'd think that would be counterintuitive if you wanted to sexualize everybody.
That's the sophistication of it all.
To create a disease that where sex equals death.
They became a victim. They became a victim. AIDS, remember, homosexuals mm-hmm. now became a victim.
That's
okay,
true.
Of Ronald Reagan or something. I don't know. What they needed to pin it on somebody. they became a victim. Okay, so all of a sudden now mm-hmm. they required, if not sympathy,
mm-hmm.
you know, you couldn't criticize them. Oddly enough, it wasn't like it was a cautionary tale or this was what happens if you live an immoral lifestyle. No, the virus itself is a lone little virus out there that could pop up anywhere. You can just have sex once and you can get it. You know, and
yep.
they did a test like that. They did prostitutes that didn't do drugs and prostitutes that did do drugs regularly. And the ones that did do drugs had AIDS. The ones that didn't do drugs didn't have AIDS. They had other things. They didn't have mm-hmm. AIDS because they weren't overwhelming their immune system. This is something that drug addicts would develop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just so you know, that's why heroin, right? Heroin users, you think about it, right? Think about it for your immune system.
Right.
Your whole system collapses when you use heroin. Everything collapses when you're a heroin addict. They blame it on this one virus, as opposed mm-hmm. to the heroin you're taking, and all the other things you're subjecting your body to. You're not eating
dirty right. needles or whatever.
Dirty needles, living in unclean areas. You're not eating right. You're not a healthy person if you're a heroin addict.
Yeah. Right.
And that's going to affect your right. immune system.
Right.
And it's kind of obvious if you think about it, but you think you scare people with AIDS and you get people in white coats and the FDA talking
yeah.
about it and the CDC talking about it, these official bodies, then it become you as an individual, you don't want to question because you don't want to sound like a crackpot or a nut or an idiot because what do you know? You're just a guy. You know,
yeah.
As sure. opposed to a doctor, you know.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, back to your original point, it does seem counterintuitive. But just remember, if you could get just one account to get AIDS, and so we better teach how do you avoid that? Well, let's give them condoms.
Yeah,
you know,
safe sex.
You know, or let's do other things like teach girls how to how to pleasure their boys other than sex. And this
yeah,
is literally
right.
wasn't in schools being taught. How to,
yeah.
you know, how to, you know, really got to teach kids these things.
Yeah.
Was it, remember Jerusalem Elders, the Surgeon General for Clinton?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, masturbation. Lady.
She claimed you need to teach kids how to masturbate. Now, I think 2,000 years they've been trying to prevent kids from doing
I think they'll figure it out.
And but all this is loosening up. All this is, creating a permissive sexual environment.
Yeah.
Okay. Ultimately, ironically, that tends towards depopulation because you separate mm-hmm. sex from procreation. Yeah. And also mm-hmm. the process you dehumanize an inevitable reduction. It comes into play here with the human being himself because the human being now is an instrument. Another human being is not so much is an instrument of your pleasure, not so much another human being.
Mm-hmm.
you know. And it's also isolating, whereas sex, the traditional teaching, the Christian teaching of sex is two people become, they come together, become one flesh and create a life. And
yes,
the sexual revolution idea of sex is atomizing. It's selfish. It's about you,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's so you become a lot of atomized, you know, transient individuals, have no sense, for, have no concern for posterity. And those people are much more manageable for the New World Order because they'll have no concern. They have no, they're deracinated. They have no roots, healthy family background. And in a sense, they have no concern for the future. And they can be atomized and they become great consumers because they just want to buy, get things for themselves. And lacking family, lacking, perhaps a religion, a church, a family, ethnicity, a community, they still have that void, and they fill it with Coke, Pepsi, Jordan, Air Jordans, iPods, consumer items.
But yeah, you know. But also just, just getting back to what I was saying before, it's not that there's something wrong with being into Coke or Pepsi in and of itself. It's the almost the idolatry of
yes.
it. Should we put it that way?
Yeah.
I mean, I just keep wanting to make that point. Like before when you were saying television is inherently a weaponized medium, it seems like it is if it's used that way. But I very rarely find myself the one trying to look on the bright side of things. But in this conversation, I've been sort of, it's an unaccustomed perspective for me to take. it's not because you can like to watch football on Sunday, or mm-hmm. You can enjoy science fiction movies or other things in a harmless kind of way. There's nothing sinful.
Oh no, all these things. Yeah, that. It's a question of balance and temperance, like anything. Temperance is a virtue, right. as they say. It's not as if to imbibe these things is inherently evil, but we are doused in them now.
Yeah.
We are just doused in them. And it's you can't even get, it's all infotainment. It's television everywhere. You can't go to a bar without 20 television sets there. It used to be a bar or a tavern was a place to talk and communicate. You can't do that anymore. And it's all sports. It's all,
It is saturated.
It's saturation.
Effect, certainly.
So
even more than when we were kids.
Yes.
I mean, I'm around your age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, around the time there wasn't cable, or just in the very early days of cable, you wasn't everywhere. It was easier to get away from.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's developed in that way. If I think we're being steered in some direction, by bad people with nefarious ends. I mean, I think that's certainly happening, but I wonder how much of it is haphazard and, or just responding to people's needs or people, not people's needs, but people's desires. Like, there's a, people want more entertainment, so they give them more entertainment, and there's money to be made for it. So in a way that there's a more mundane explanation, but I think, I was saying before,
I think the vast majority of people who are involved in the production of entertainment, advertising, media, these things. Yeah, they're doing it to make money. That's all they care about. And like most of the doing, they may not. They go to work every day.
Some might even be in it. Some might even think of themselves as artists, or might even be artists. They might want to make a good product and have it be well made and have it move people. And I mean, that's. Yeah.
But look at it this way: there was no demand for the promotion of transgenderism.
No.
That was completely it was a top-down thing. It's clearly through the corporations.
Yeah.
It's clear. I mean, if you look at the reaction down when Charlotte passed that stupid ordinance requiring
the bathroom.
The bathroom, and then the state steps in and says, no, you're not going to do that. All of a sudden, the whole New World Order comes down on the state of North Carolina. That's coordinated.
Right. Yes, definitely.
You know, Facebook had a whole campaign set when the Supreme Court came down on its decision, the Obergefell decision regarding gay marriage. There's a whole corporate campaign plan. The White House was drenched in a rainbow flag. They knew what the decision was going to be. This is all coordinated. It's a huge corporate plan. And even the Supreme Court knew what they were going to do before. I mean, because it's part of the agenda. There's all these movies. What's that? Netflix has a show about it that wins an award. If you go online, every news story, every day there's some story about LGBT this or that, and what there's no genuine desire for that to read about those stories. Look at of course the whole Bruce Jenner thing.
Yeah,
you know.
That was definitely a manufactured thing.
Yeah, manufactured. I mean, just completely manufactured.
Yeah.
You know, and this is all done because it normalizes this stuff. So, you know, it's not a question of giving people what they want. It's convincing them that they want something and desensitizing them to this. And they're after the next generation. I mean, old codgers like yourself are going to, we're stuck in our ways. It's the next generation. It's the generation, you know, it's the 20-something. It's the teenagers. Mm-hmm. And I just know it this way, just if you look at it, just that... just judging from what my nephews and nieces say and how they, I mean, I have a nephew who goes to a Catholic Jesuit high school, and there's a teacher there who's homosexual, has a picture of his quote husband on his desk.
Right. I think you mentioned that to me. Yeah.
And okay. Why not? You know, I understand if the teacher's that way, no one knows about it. No one's going to care the way it used to be. Right. It might be a rumor here and there, whatever. So what? And live and let live. But when you start doing that, you're assaulting those kids. And you know, it's an insult to the parents who are paying a very high tuition to get a Catholic education. They're getting that.
Yeah. And it's not in line with Catholicism.
No. Well, it's a Jesuit school. No.
Right. Well, I was going to say that. I was going to make that joke, actually.
Yeah.
But you beat me to it.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's one of these things. And, you know, I hear what they talk about. And you know, they have friends who are that way and this way. And I was like, I was a kid, it wasn't that way. It was like, what? Any of that. So people were
just,
that's not healthy.
You know, right.
You get so tolerant and you get so open-minded, your brain falls out of your skull. And these things.
Right.
You know.
So, I mean, it's certainly, a big part of it's been manufactured. And I guess, you know, we've probably reached nearly the end of the conversation, but I guess just getting back to the YouTube videos again, those, you would say they're just another manifestation of this whole conglomeration of nasty, evil, wicked, terrible cultural conditioning.
Yeah, I think we shouldn't look at these things as a crude production. I think they're very sophisticated. It's a very sophisticated form of psychological programming or psychological warfare.
In spite of the low budgets.
The low budget is part of the psychological warfare. It's like, again, it's like those kids shows. It has to be that way to draw in the child, child's attention. As an adult, you look at it just as being weird. But the weird imagery, if you contrast it or compare it to child's programming, you'll see the similarity. And that's when you really maybe can discern the sinister nature of it all.
And why do you think, is there any reason for the particular motifs that keep turning up, like we were talking about, like this constant fetishization of pregnancy and also
body functions,
scatology?
Yeah, body functions, pregnancy, because it all involves something that's
injections.
It's invasive. It's intimate, private.
Right.
And they want to destroy the notion of intimacy and privacy Because these things, because
yeah,
privacy itself isn't just a. It's important to maintaining our dignity and our liberty.
Yeah, there's an aspect of it that's, that there's an absence of dignity to it. I mean, I guess that's part of what scatological humor is all about. It's the loss of dignity that accompanies that. Those particular functions, but
and so the whole thing with childbirth, like it's really, they're panicky.
Yeah,
she's pregnant, and what's that saying about childbirth? That you're trivializing childbirth, turning into weird. It's odd.
Isn't it?
Needles in the belly. What is it? It's like a saline solution or something.
Yeah,
It's and again, just try to imagine a 3-year-old watching that, and how a 3-year-old looks at the world and watching that imagery. It's I think rather it being a very crude, I think it's a very sophisticated form of a neurological program or psychological warfare.
So you think that the makers of these videos are given instructions? Okay, make these videos about this, 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 and this. Do you think that's how it works?
Oh yes, yeah. Just obviously they're being made for a reason, and like I said, it is weird that they'd be using these figures that are from companies that are very, very jealous of their copyright and nothing is being done, whereas other people get banned from YouTube for the slightest infraction.
And spiders is another. That's something I hadn't mentioned before, but. Spiders keep coming up for some reason or other. Like there's always, a spider coming down, and I guess another motif of being menaced and something scary that's potentially lethal.
Yeah,
coming down and there's nowhere to turn. Nothing is safe.
But it's essentially this program. If you look at things like. Different program is going to affect. It can be geared to different ages. It can be different. If you look at some of the narcissistic programming that's come out, whether it's the Real Housewives in New Jersey or or Cutthroat Kitchen and these things, why is this being promoted? And if all these shows promote the same stuff, why? If you look at television, the sitcom programming. It's all kind of cookie cut. It's all the same. It's all formulaic.
Yes.
If you look at some of the sitcoms, back in the 90s, whether it was Friends, Seinfeld's a whole other thing. One thing was a lot funnier, but that's a show about nothing, and some would say that means it was about something if they're making fun of nothing and nihilism of it all.
Right. Narcissistic people.
Yeah. But like Friends, what type of lifestyle was that promoting?
Well, good-looking young white people, being immoral, pretty much.
Yeah, Mad TV had a thing called making fun of shows like Dawson. Remember Dawson's Creek and this
program? Yeah,
90210. I mean, come on. I mean, this it's all.
Yeah,
Mad TV had a thing called their show was called. Good-looking white kids with problems.
That might as well have been the title.
Yeah. And same thing with the... if you talk about Disney promoting all this occult magic and stuff, and all of a sudden the kids that grew up in this stuff are now watching Twilight, and they're glorifying vampires. And
right.
Although
interestingly, I've heard of Twilight discussed as that's a little passé now. But,
no, it is passé now. I'm talking about 10 years ago.
Yeah, it seemed like it was kind of almost a culturally conservative thing. Like the author was an observant Mormon, and it was the main character was there was something kind of traditionally framed about the romance. Although I guess there was this. This romantic triangle with two hunky guys, which is kind
of... apparently she was dating a vampire, breaks up with him, and she runs into a werewolf. That girl's got bad luck. But a werewolf with great abs.
Yeah.
I think he was Shark Boy earlier role.
Yeah.
Another Disney child, I think.
Not much. We haven't heard much from him lately.
But the whole idea of the movie star, which was Edward Bernays' idea, of course, Edward Bernays goes back to advertising, and he's the one that said your taste and habits are controlled by people they never know. He called it a secret government. And you get women become addicted to cigarettes through an ad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whole generation of women smoking cigarettes just by calling them torches of liberty. And he's also involved in war propaganda. He's the one that developed a lot of the World War One propaganda with the Kaiser and these things, getting people going to the trenches. It's talk about mass. Talk about using mass media, mass communication for mass manipulation. And that's what it's used for. That's what it's been overwhelmed. That's why it's studied. That's why I read a book by Christopher Simpson called The Science of Coercion. And it's about the study of mass communication by the Pentagon, by the CIA, not just to study, hey, how does it work? What's going on here? It's to use it, to weaponize it. And the study itself of mass communication that you have in academia, or all these people all on government research grant money. It's all CIA and DOD grant money. So all the experts in it are relying on the CIA and DOD for their funding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's all controlled. And CIA is not so much about spying. It's more about culture creation, culture manipulation. You know, so they hire cartographers and sociologists and psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
Magicians.
Right. Control the media.
Yeah.
The Mockingbird project.
And the whole idea of the movie star, right? What's all that about? Creating the star. And that was, Edward Bernays' idea. Because you create the movie star, he thought it as a sort of a recreation of the pantheon of the gods.
Right.
You know, the Greek gods with their foibles. That. Yeah. And you get people to watch those movie stars. And through their lifestyle, you can change society's mores. And that's, let's face it. I mean, that's why we have these scandals. It's not because, you know, these stars have scandals. They're promoted because shows like TMZ, it's there to degrade society. We're not going to imitate them totally because we can't, but we will to a certain extent. And that's why I've said that they're kind of, similar to a chemical concentration. Where you pour it into a well and it gets diluted and it'll have its effect. It won't be quite as extreme as the concentration, but it'll have its effect as it poisons the well and you'll have the result you want. And that's what Hollywood is about, with these movie stars and their lifestyles and these things and their scandals and these things. I mean, what effect did Elizabeth Taylor have on the institution of marriage with her 5-6 marriages and her being glamorized?
Mm-hmm.
You know, normalizing it all. That's the function of the movie star.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a contrived aspect to a lot of it. I still think that some of it might be, you know, legit as far as artistically. I just don't want to.
Oh, there's good art. It just doesn't get promoted. Yeah. There's good movies. That's there's good stuff.
Probably
true. I mean, you can. That's one observation I heard about art. How you could destroy good art just by promoting bad art, because to become a really good artist takes a lifetime of commitment. It takes money. You got to get patronage. And if you divert the patronage towards ugly, degrading art, that's the way it's going to go. And those artists are going to go that route. They're not going to go the classical route. You know, that's the function of the modern Museum of Modern Art in New York. That'd be Rockefeller started it. It was there to degrade. And that's the, and that's the whole function of a lot of these foundations. It's misanthropy disguised as philanthropy.
So they just, when what's behind it all is, I don't know, satanic?
Yeah, it's, getting the mind of an oligarch. I mean, how they think. Mm-hmm. It's they don't want a society that's edified, educated, healthy. They want weeks, slavery, serfdom, and they don't want people even to know they're slaves because they're the best slaves. People who think they're free are the best slaves.
Right. Sure. Makes sense.
That's just why, so when he sent these videos to me, I said, yeah, it's just, again, it's something, just a part of this complex, I think. It's not by accident. These things aren't happening by accident. It isn't just some, and it's kids programming is awful. and it's particularly insidious and sinful, because, you know, what did Jesus say?
About whoever corrupts the little ones, mm-hmm. would be better if you throw him into the middle of the ocean with a millstone around his neck.
Yeah. You know.
Well, that gets back to what I guess we were talking about last time when I was with Meta Pizzagate.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was the my thesis that was at the heart of the, you know, the penchant upon many in the ruling echelon for corrupting innocence, mm-hmm. or for defiling innocence just be precisely that.
And as you wrote, innocence has its place.
Right.
And, you know, it's, would you call it a aesthetics of innocence?
Maybe. I'm trying to remember what I wrote. I don't have it in front of me right now. I'm sure it was incredibly profound,
yeah.
and beautifully written.
And it's one of these, I get a sense, when you're looking at this, when you're talking about what you're watching, is you don't know quite how to describe what you're watching, but you know it's weird.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. With regard to the YouTube videos. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. There's something.
And most people
something
have that reaction.
Sinister
to
happening.
Yeah, there's something really weird out, and you're not quite to put it. I think therein lies the. I think it's an indication. So it's there. Oddly enough, there's sophistication.
There, yeah.
Yeah.
And within the crudity of it, within the apparent crudity of it, there is something, some evil sophistication.
Yeah, it's the same thing when I'm watching those god awful Disney programming shows, whether it's Molly, you know, Hannah Montana, or these things. There's something that strikes me as odd about it. It's just it's mm-hmm. off putting. I don't like kids watching. I don't like my kids. Why? I don't like to promote it, because the way the kids are portrayed, the whole lifestyle is promoted, this whole thing, and just the whole idea of separate kid programming has always bothered me, because it seems like it's like, why do you want to do that? You know,
what do you feel the same way about kids books?
Not good one. I mean, I'm not saying that. Obviously, the reading levels have to. I mean,
right.
Dick and Jane. These things are innocent enough, and that, you know.
Yeah.
These things. No, I mean, obviously, there's stories
like the Hardy Boys.
Hardy Boys. I've never found anything particularly sinister in those. No, they're.
Yeah.
They're clean, and they're rather charming in their own way.
Right.
So no, obviously not. Like you said, I'm not an idiot. I can see when something's weird, you know. And the problem is, a lot of people now, because they want to be liberal about these things, particularly in sexual matters, that if you're judgmental in any of these things, you're being too prescriptive, you know. And to the point now, you can't even identify a creep when you run across him on the street when he's acting like a creep, you know. You know, like the guy who owns Comet Ping Pong Pizza.
You know. Right.
James Halifontes. Come on, bring all the kids in, and I'm a homosexual. Well, that's great. You know,
who has art depicting people getting their heads cut off.
Yeah. Then why am I being victimized? Well,
has pictures on his Instagram page of sexualized children and so forth, and laughing about it. Yeah. Yeah, it's a grim scene,
no doubt. And part of these videos that we're talking about is that I don't know how many kids are watching these things. I don't know. I mean, I'm not the type of parent to push my kid in front of YouTube and go watch and run off and do my errands, whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of views. I don't know if it's a lot of kids are watching these things. Do kids watch YouTube a lot? Not in my house.
I don't know.
One thing is, we still think of television. I know media has gotten further and further away from television. That's going to be winding down.
Yeah.
So the computer, little devices, this is going to be the primary mode of this is going to be the medium that people consume. So more and more, that's going to be the case. So maybe this is part of that, you know, where kids are in front of a laptop or something, are in front of a computer screen watching.
Right.
Because I know
maybe
this is
timed towards them.
Because I've cut off cable TV in my house. Now it's kind of a la carte. We watch movies on Amazon or Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's up, you know, it's that sort of thing. But we just kind of monitor what the kids watch.
Sure.
You know, I have an older daughter who's a teenager, and she's a little more discerning now. So I'm not quite too concerned. You know, at some point you got to teach your kids some things and then rely on their own judgment. And, you know, you can't be too restrictive in these things. You got to rely at some point. You got to start to rely on their own judgment. You worry a little more. You worry about different things with boys than you do with girls. What they're gonna watch, you know.
Sure.
You know, so it's a different thing.
Right.
So maybe that's a part of it. Maybe kids are watching things on YouTube. Kids, parents are putting on YouTube. Oh, look, this looks like something a kid would enjoy. I'm gonna go do my laundry. Click.
Yeah. Well, it seems like from what I've heard that does that is happening some, and then in some cases the parents come back in the room and say, "What in the world is that? What's going on here?
Yeah,
this doesn't look right."
Yeah, it's just this woman's defecating rubber balls.
Yeah.
What?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess we'll see where the. Is consciousness going to be raised from here about what's going on? Is there a possibility that, that more and more people will become aware of this and see that it's not a good sign? And
well, they still crowd in the Disneyland every year, Disney World every year to get.
Oh, sure. But that's more again, for people like you who see a continuity between official Disney and this stuff, that's different from people like I guess it's often been me who hasn't seen things that way. But I mean, it might just be that we're not looking in the right place or seeing. So I guess that's what I wonder. You know, is there?
Well, you know, often there isn't. This doesn't necessarily have to be an operational connection in culture.
Right.
You can start. You can push culture in a certain direction, and there can be enough people doing it, copying and doing it on their own. You know. You know. So sure. Not everything is a winning asset, or you know, there's just kind of this is the cultural trend. This is the cultural milieu that we live in. This is the sea we're swimming in right now, and you get people doing it, and that's a big function of it. You know. I also found out the phenomenon of the T-shirt was also Disney based.
T-shirts came from Disney?
Mickey Mouse. I was always wondering about this. Someone looked it up. Now, she looked it up for me, so I'm not confirming this, but it was the Mickey Mouse T-shirt. This was the 50s. I was like, when didn't see many people wearing, T-shirts, with a message on it or emblem, and this is another cultural trend.
Before that, like athletes and stuff wore, like, the tank top kind of
Before the 50s, late 50s, you didn't see people T-shirts with team names on them, or brands, So that was another.
I'm very much a T-shirt aficionado, so I guess I'm pretty much corrupted there.
I got a lot of T-shirts, and that's not necessarily
a
bad thing.
I wear a T-shirt every day.
Yeah, I do too. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think that's interesting. I mean, it just shows you how much power a corporation can have over the culture.
Sure.
You know.
Absolutely.
So, and I'm wearing a T-shirt right now, with the name of a city.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's comfortable. And thank God. There are sometimes I regret that people don't dress the way they used to, because society has become very sloppy. But sometimes, I'm thankful. I'm looking at a little picture of the 1933 All-Star Game, and it's in mid-July in Washington, D.C., and everyone's wearing a suit.
Yeah, and a top hat. If you didn't go out in that, people would look at you funny.
But they're wearing. It's a white suit, so it's cool.
Definitely a different time. No doubt. But they didn't think twice about it because it was what was normal for them.
And it's like, ooh, it's a hot one today, sitting on the front porch, and they're wearing a shirt with a tie on.
It's pretty foreign to our sensibilities, our casual sensibilities in 2017.
So it's one of those. What's that scene in Country for Old Men? The two sheriffs are talking. And he goes, "I figure once you stop hearing ma'am and sir, it's all downhill from there."
That's right. I remember the line you were trying to think of there. That was just like some old-timey.
And
what's that? I can't remember the actor's name now. It was really good.
Oh,
in that role.
Yeah, there was a wasn't he like Bill Clinton's roommate or something?
Yeah. I can't remember his name, but
He was in The Fugitive, too.
Right. So. Men in Black.
Yeah.
Etc. So is there more to say about this, or...
It's one of these things. I do think that it's not just the videos. I do think you can. There's a wider issue here. We're getting the children's programming and the whole sexualization, the weirdness of it all.
Tommy Lee Jones.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even look that up. It just occurred.
I know it was three names, like an assassin.
Yeah.
But I think that's how that's how I would look at it, just more of this weird programming that has designed to introduce weird sexual scatological things to younger kids. Whenever I find an adult doing that, that's weird. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
So,
no doubt.
And I assume adults were involved in the production of these things. They're acting in it. So,
yeah.
Who's thinking, oh, this is good for kids?
I mean, what that is a good question, though. What is the men, and that's kind of why I was asking a moment ago, do they get a list of things from on high saying, okay, you got to make 8 videos about spiders and 8 videos about pregnancy and injections and mm-hmm. Are they really systematic about it? Because these are there are motifs that do keep coming up over and over and over again. And I don't think these are motifs that are just like, it's not like they just come organically out of the material. It's not like, oh, well, this is it. We're making a video for kids. Let's let our characters get pregnant all the time. I mean,
yeah.
It's not like that's not like what kids want to see all the time,
yeah.
And so forth. So there does seem to be some contrivance from on high, and I guess it's something we'll never know for sure unless somebody manages to infiltrate this network, whatever it is, and maybe there are people trying to do that now.
So I mean, I do know there's a corporate angle to it. Is you get kids watching the stuff that they, if they develop at a younger age, you get more consumers.
Yes.
That's another thing is, seeing the kids over it's just 8 years old now are going to rock concerts.
Yeah.
That never happened. I mean, that wasn't something that some people did to in their teenage years.
No.
But now that many more consumers, and that's that corporate turning us all into consumers. And that requires degradation.
Well, that's the filthy lucre aspect of it, I guess.
Yeah. The cult of mammon and...
Yeah.
That's what it is. So these things, you can't get around them if you're going to promote that angle.
Right.
So. Well, Andy, I guess I think we talked enough about this tonight. Anything, any other observations or anything else?
No. I guess I would just say again to anybody who doesn't know what we were talking about, just to go to YouTube and type in Elsa and Spider-Man, and you'll start seeing these videos, and there are a ton of them, and you can watch them for as long as you like. I don't know why you would want to, but I did for a little while just because there was a sick kind of fascination to the whole thing. So check it out for yourself and see for yourself, decide what you what I would say to everybody out there is decide what you think would be appropriate to do in response to this, if anything. It's one of those things I think we have to monitor and regard very warily.
Well, yeah, because I know when I watch YouTube, I come across things like, geez.
Sure.
You have your kids in front of this stuff, YouTube.
Yeah, but on the other hand, YouTube is probably where most people are listening to this conversation from.
Yep.
So good can it's not the medium itself that's bad, but it's how it's used.
So, okay, well, I'll let you go.
Yeah,
Andy, well, nice to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on again.
You're certainly welcome. Thanks for coming back on. I'll let you go, Enjoy the remainder of your Saturday night. I'll post this, I'll probably post this tomorrow. And I will send you the link. We'll send you the link. And enjoy the summer.
All right. Thanks.
And if something else pops up, certainly just send me a note or something. And of course, if I'm listening to your show or something else comes up, I'll send you a note. Have you back on if you're
okay,
so willing.
Okay, great.
Good, great.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Absolutely.
Good night then.
All right.
So long. Bye-bye.
All right.